If you're in an accept-all-cookies frame of mind these days, what do you think about making delicious white strawberries by dipping them in bleach? How about melting gummy bears to make jelly? These and many other household hacks have been gaining plays and likes online. But are they really helpful hints, or only useful for harvesting the clicks of the inexperienced? Our tech correspondent Aislinn Kelleher talked to me from her desk at Virginia Tech about why a bit of information hygiene might be as important right now as a strong hand-washing game. People often go to the internet and they talk about YouTube as this amazing resource where you can really, and you can, find out how to do anything. But with that kind of great encyclopedic facility, you also have started to get people who are putting up information that is, I guess it's the fake news of the DIY world, showing you how to do things, but they're not actually correct.
Yeah, this is quite worrying, maybe, or disturbing. I mean, we've started out where a lot of like chefs or people who are professional designers were, you know, cultivating a following online, using YouTube to, you know, teach examples from their books and put together these fairly nicely crafted videos. And then we start seeing this phenomenon, maybe in the last couple of years, of those, you know, singular overhead shots with kind of jaunty music, maybe no narration, of showing you in a procedural way how to go through, like, in many ways, they're like hacks, they call them, like that you would never have thought of this. This is such a cool and quick thing to do. So not necessarily following particular recipes or the type of sequential instructions that you might get on a website like Instructables, but instead it's just like, here's this quickly edited video that is like a little snack, right? So you can see in maybe 30 seconds or 45 seconds, you're like, oh, they can go from that to that. What's complicating in this is that there seems to be a phenomenon of people putting together like these huge content farms are just churning out these videos, and they're leaving out some important steps, or if not completely faking the ending altogether, or even worse, coming up with some really, really bad and potentially dangerous ideas that when others who are either food science experts or people who are interested in DIY actually try to put together themselves, they realize that this could have like a really disturbing outcome. So I think there was a phenomenon for a while, which I also participated in, of trying to do like Martha Stewart's dyed Easter eggs, and then you would take a picture of that and then be like, and here's Martha's and here's my fail, right? And so it's like a Pinterest fail, and that seemed kind of funny. But these particular videos seem like, well, of course they're doomed to fail because they're faked and they have some really poor ideas. Like, a lot of them seem to involve bleach. There's a bunch of like really terrible, both craft ones and baking ones. And a lot of, there's a wonderful food scientist named Anne Reardon, Australian woman, and she has her own channel showing you how to make really great recipes. And also, because she is a food scientist and became very worried and concerned and wanted to debunk these types of things and work out how you could do them. And partly she'd kind of tear these apart, but she's also done follow-up investigative work trying to ask the companies that are producing these, like, what, like, there's absolutely no relationship between the outcome in the videos that they're creating and actual reality. One of the ones that I was like, oh, come on, is the idea that you take an uncooked ear of corn and put it in a brown bag, and then you put it in the microwave, and out comes a warmed up corn and apparently popcorn. And this is what their video shows. And that's like clearly impossible. But they're putting this out there as like, this is a wonderful way to make popcorn. And I don't know whether you're trying to teach a child that, but that's pretty bad science. And it also doesn't have any disclaimers on it. So that one is maybe very obvious, but other ones are, if you get a glass of bleach and drop a strawberry into it, and when you take the strawberry back out, it'll be white. And you're like, well, yeah, but strawberries are for eating, and the last thing you want is for anybody, child or adult, to eat a strawberry that's been dipped in bleach.
Who are making these kind of videos, and why?
Yeah, the why is interesting. I mean, I think there's also a bunch of videos that are just like scaremongering videos about this is in children's food and this is in rice, and this is just pure clickbait. You know, it's just going to attract lots and lots of eyes. So you start seeing a viral video about, you know, these are like fearful things are in food, and within over a weekend it's shared 40 million times. And even no matter how quick scientists or anybody really comes out and tries to debunk it, it's not going to get that same virality and kind of like spread and distribution all around the world. that, you know, a less kind of breathless, less bombastic video is going to put together. So there are companies in LA that are putting these together targeted towards, we're really trying to get teenagers maybe interested in crafts or have these huge followings, like one is called Blossom, made by content companies. These are not like fly-by-night kind of things. These are things that do a lot of branding, for example, for big clients, like soft drink companies and others. So these are like, well, they seem like legitimate companies that are also content farms generating huge followings, which, you know, on platforms like Facebook will generate a lot of advertising dollars.
And on YouTube as well. What this addresses is kind of the shortcomings of the algorithm, in that the algorithm is assessing content, basically, what the video is about, rather than the quality of the information in it.
It is, and maybe that's purposeful, you know, because it's just folks who also invent or who are creating this content. They realize that people are consuming this in really small amounts, maybe particularly if you're looking at content on your phone and flicking through Instagram or flicking through Facebook. These are videos that you can look at very, very quickly. If you think it seems almost that you would have sat down to watch Delia Smith or, you know, any of these other cooking shows, that would have sat there for an hour waiting to see one particular roast beef dinner be constructed, when through this type of content you can get from A to B in 10 seconds and be like, I didn't know I just had to microwave it in polyethylene and I'd have been grand, you know. And also the sense of, like, this is supposed to be about hacks, or that it's about ingenuity and you're smarter if you know this. But these things just are not based on science, but much more rather on, like, just that little headline alone or that little first click will get people really interested in clicking on it. And I think slowly people will get smarter, the same way that you see, you know, this one trick to do with your your gut biomes will solve this. The types of kind of very bizarre ads that you see as part of sponsored content on online newspapers, for example, I think we've learned that's clearly all garbage. And whether or not we can begin to ascertain, or who is responsible, if somebody copies something that they see on one of these videos and does ingest bleach, or does, you know, do something that is going to send scalding hot caramel liquid all around your room, who ultimately is responsible? Is it the content creator, or the platform that it's disseminated on, or the algorithms that artificially surface this fake news? The same way with the fake news. It's like, it's just, if it's too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true, and don't do that.
Professor Aislinn Kelleher there, talking to me from her well-wiped desk at Virginia Tech about DIY disinformation.